Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of Utopia to Me with me, your host, Chris Locke. How's it going? Thanks for coming back. Thanks for rechecking it out. Thanks for re-upping Utopia to Me episodes. Thanks for always coming in and checking out what the latest thing is, the latest guest, the latest story, the latest rant, the latest hypothetically thizing. That's totally an English word from English class. Now, this episode is fun. So where are you? Are you, please. If you're out there acting like Teen Wolf, a movie from the 80s, and you're surfing on top of a guy named Styles's van, and you're going, hey, I'm surfing, but really you're just dangerously standing on a van that's driving down a road, don't do that. Be careful. Look, I'm a dad now, okay? So I can't picture you guys out there getting into such dangerous trouble. That's all I say to my daughter now. Be careful. Ugh. Is it normal for a dad to just, that's all he says to his child? Be careful. Be careful. Get down. Watch out. Look out. Don't touch it. Everything's hot. Everything's sharp. Everything's dangerous. And look, for you, the listener, I know most of Utopia to Me's listeners are daredevils. And they like to climb on top of vans and pretend like they're surfing around, like the Teen Wolf movie from, I probably think, 1984. So, be careful. But listen to this podcast episode in the comfort of your own home this time, all right? Something cozy, like a nice couch that, you know, when you can't get to sleep tonight, you go onto the couch and then you roll around, then you put this podcast on. That'll help. Sometimes couches are comfier than beds. Wow, that's a long intro. Maybe it's because I just chugged an English breakfast tea and I'm jacked. The thing is this is a great episode. It's Pat Bircher, who is a Canadian comedian who has traveled all around the world. We talk about that in the first bit of the episode. And he's really funny and unique, and I love watching his stand-up. So, you know, if you haven't seen him, or you're not familiar, go check him out. It's a fun... Here's one thing that you'll... Okay, when I first started the podcast, this episode, 79, I had about 4 tacos, and I was a little logy. But throughout the podcast... Okay, so the first, you know, you get logy, Chris, for the first few minutes. But then I drink a green tea, and so does Pat. And then, wow, does the conversation get action-packed, I think. I don't even remember what we talked about. Random stuff, the stuff of the day, but lots of good stuff. Pat has some good ideas. So we're going to dive in there now. And did I sell that or did I not sell that? It's a fun convo. I love talking to Pat. I love getting his perspective on things. As soon as I drink the green tea, I become more of a chatterbox. I try not to interrupt him, but here we go. It was fun hanging out with Pat Bircher. This is the longest intro I've ever done. I'm just having fun with you guys. Look, I'm going to be honest. I checked the stats finally on Utopia to Me on the internet recently, and it seems like there's a lot of listeners for this podcast. It's really popular. So I appreciate that. Maybe that's why I'm a bit more chatterbox long intro right now, because I'm appreciative of how many people are actually checking it out and listening to it. Unless it's like WTF and you just fast forward through this part and you're like, oh yeah. Well, either way, here we go. Episode 79 with Pat Bircher. Here we go. Enjoy. Energy.
Up.
I need energy.
Up, up.
Podcast.
Welcome to podcast.
Here's my impression. Here's my imitation of the sound of someone getting slapped.
That's a good one.
You do it. Yeah, yeah. You do it.
Okay. Or do I have to? Yeah.
Do the person. You know, that's a good one.
Yeah, the shock.
Watch.
Hey, man.
What the? Yeah. What the hell?
What the hell? You left the fan on. I can hear it. Can you turn it off?
No.
Yeah.
In the bathroom?
You left the light on. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your guest, Pat Bircher. That is...
No, I know what it is.
See? He hears a fan, and he thought I left the fan on in the bathroom, but I didn't. I didn't. He went into another room now, and he's looking for a fan like it's the movie The Conversation.
I left the heater on.
Oh, he left the heater on in the other room. What's that room? Is that an office?
That's my office.
So let's describe this house that you live in. Pat Bircher, super funny stand-up comedian, road dog extraordinaire.
Road dog. What the hell?
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
What now?
Your office is here. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But you share this house downtown Toronto with Monty Scott... Jared Campbell, Marito Lopez,
Nick Beaton, Chris Roberts.
That's all comedians, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And then the bathroom's gross.
Oh, buddy. I fixed it a while ago, but and then...
It got bad again?
Yeah, because people don't leave the door closed and turn the light off and then the fan's off. And then
mold is the issue.
Yeah, man. You know what it is? The mold is a... it's not the issue. It became an issue, but it is a symptom of a sick system, which is people closing the door and turning the light and fan off. So it just becomes an incubator in there.
Blech.
Yeah.
That's a lot of boys bathing in slime.
Lots of boys bathing in
Do you go somewhere
slime.
Else to shower then?
No. I just don't touch that wall. It's not like the mold comes for you in the shower. It's like, hello, that mold.
Yeah.
You know?
Touch my face. talk about some of your stand-up comedy accomplishments. When did you start doing stand-up comedy?
13 years ago.
2005.
Five-ish, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the exact date.
Here in Toronto?
Yeah. It was the first time I actually did stand up was at this competition called Stand Up, Sit Down, Fight, Fight, Fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a bunch of people there that later I'd be actually
fighting.
No. But it was a really weird experience. Like, I just basically my brother signed me up because he's friends with Ali, who was in that.
Yeah.
And then
Ali who? Not Ali Hassan.
No.
Ali Badshah?
Yeah.
That is... Do you want to hear a weird coincidence?
Sure.
People listening, on the way to Pat's house, I was telling him about how I just started taking this acting course, and I'm so embarrassed about trying to act for real. And then Ali Badshah's in the class.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's good. Well, I only did one class so far, but I liked what he was good in that class. I was a mess. I didn't know my lines, and it was embarrassing.
Do you know what? You should be like Marlon Brando.
I am.
Cool. That's enough said then.
I'm handsome to a point.
But supposedly what he would do on set is he'd tape his lines everywhere?
He'd tape his lines
to everything.
Little child's face.
Really?
No. Yeah. That's why it always looks like he's talking to the actor's privates.
No, that's not what happened.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I've read every Hollywood Insider novel.
Right.
I've got nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
So you did that show, and then you met a lot of people that you would later go on to
see
around town.
Yeah, like that's where I first saw Dave Mahesh was there,
mm-hmm.
and then I forget who else.
He's done this podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was good.
Yeah.
Charismatic man. He's going to China.
Yeah, I think...
Everyone look out for that.
Yeah, if you're in China and this comes out before he's there, go check him out.
If you're in China listening to this podcast, thank you so much. but I don't really think that's happening yet, but I would love that.
It may have happened.
And then also go see Dave Mirage when he goes to China.
Yeah.
And then so you did, you just did stand up, but then when did you go to the UK then?
Maybe in like 2 years later.
What made you do that?
My brother was living there at the time, and then some guy told me I could make money over there.
Did you?
I started to a little bit into it.
But you were like, eh, making money's not for me.
No, I like the. I just didn't like it over there.
Right. I haven't been. It's just,
yeah.
Is it all right. It's dismal?
Like, I made some really good friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had some good times, but it just like... Or like the thing is, like, you can see where other people get to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just saw where other Canadians or North Americans got to, and it mm-hmm. seemed like there wasn't really space for them. Like, you wouldn't really get your own TV show or stuff. Like, you can get guest spots on panel shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, but which we do have some friends that do that.
Yeah, but to actually get on TV and do your own thing isn't really a thing over there.
Only, I'd say, what's his name, did that? Richard Fulcher. Rich Fulcher.
He was a side guy on a show.
Right.
He was on...
Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
And Snuffbox.
Yeah, yeah. But he did well over there. You know, there is potential for that.
Yeah.
But it's just, it seemed like more of a crapshoot over there than over here.
I see what you mean, because you're not, like, super speaking the language, right?
Yeah, and they're not going to give... It's going to be tough for them to sell it to a producer. Like, not... Like, people would probably watch it. You know, if it's funny, it's funny. But yeah. For someone to be like, will people watch this? To convince someone of that, I guess.
Right.
Right.
So, in the end, you could make money easier in the UK, but you sort of just end up being a road dog for the most part anyways.
Yeah, like, there was a point where I was there and I wasn't traveling that much. And then I got a commercial and then I used that money to... travel around, and then that's when that all started.
Yeah.
And then I got tired of that because then I just saw like where that could lead to. Like, to be someone that's just doing comedy on the road for the rest of my life isn't something I want to do. It's not something I frown upon, but it's just tiring and it's lonely.
It makes me sad.
Yeah, it does too. Because it's like, so you make all these strangers laugh and then you just sit in a hotel room by yourself.
Yeah.
Which is fine every once in a while.
Being like, be healthy, get a good night's sleep, and you never do.
No, and yeah, there's usually a gym in the hotel, but there's also like free booze and shitty food, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So.
Where else did you travel? Because I know you've been to Australia.
I went to Asia. I went to...
Where?
Like, Europe. I've been to, like, where was it?
I asked you about Asia before, remember?
Yeah. While ago?
Yeah.
Or not in this conversation.
No.
I don't remember that. I remember we were promoting Dave's Asian tour.
Yeah. You're listening to Pat Bircher, but check out Dave.
What episode was he on? Do you remember?
I can't remember, but it was earlier, yeah.
Yeah.
But so what'd you do? You did that. Did you do the sort of same Asian tour trajectory that a lot of Canadians are doing? I've heard about people going over there a lot, but
no, I went to, it was more like Southeast Asia. Like, I never went to like China or anything.
Okay.
Or Japan. I went to
did you do Thailand and stuff?
I went on a tour with Garrett Jameson.
Yeah.
And he went to Thailand, but I did another thing while he was in Thailand. Like,
right.
It just didn't
line
up,
when you
so
guys
we
did
both
that.
Could do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wound up in like Singapore and Kuala Lumpur,
cool.
Vietnam, Myanmar, and stuff like that.
Insane. Yeah. Was it good?
It was fun.
Like,
but
a lot of expats
kinda,
there?
Yeah.
Do they get what you're saying?
Yeah, for the most part. You know.
Yeah, it's not like... too colloquial or something.
No, but they're, you know, it's also one of those things where it's
like, do you feel like you have to be broad there?
No, you don't have to. It's like you feel
That's
it
good.
Out like everyone has to feel it out for themselves. Like,
yeah,
it's weird for someone to say, oh, you have to talk about this, that, and the other, because you can make anything funny. It's just like,
yeah,
I found with just doing comedy in other places, it just takes like a show or two to get off your back foot, because that's when you're least funny, right? When you're like worried about it, you're like,
yeah,
oh, do they like this? you know, and then
yeah.
But as soon as you don't give a shit, and then because you can always catch,
yeah, the audience could tell.
Yeah, but also like you can always make something that didn't work funny by reacting to it the right way.
Yeah,
you know. So as long as you're not like nervous and uptight about the whole thing,
yeah,
then you can always fix it in the moment or whatever.
Cool.
Because you know, like if you watch someone and they just keep missing and they don't acknowledge it in any way, shape, or form, they just dig themselves a hole. But
makes
if you,
you
like
die.
Acknowledge the fact that you're fucking out, you're like, why isn't this working in a different way? You can get them to laugh at it.
It makes you want to die.
Yeah, it makes you want to die because you feel like you're dying, and then the stage becomes a void, and you wish you could get sucked into the black hole that it has become.
Imagine,
imagine if you will.
Imagine if you will bombing in front of people in South Asia to the point where
Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia. Sorry.
Okay.
I've never been there, so I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah,
I'm ignorant. I want to go, though. I do want to. It's like, I don't want to be a road dog necessarily.
Yeah.
But I want to. I want everybody. I want to go everywhere.
You
want to
take some trips.
Yeah, but I also want to do it for the craft of stand-up, too. Like, yeah. Not just to go see tropical
but
plants.
Yeah.
And tasty drinks. What?
I like tropical plants and when they put them in the tasty drinks.
Yeah.
That's
but you went
I
to
went
Australia,
for.
Too, a few
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah.
But and how was that?
It was fun, but it's like that other thing, too, where it's like, because a lot of it was couch surfing and stuff.
Yeah.
And sort of reached the end of that eventually, yeah. where it's just so tiring. Because I just felt every time I went... Also, all my friends.
It's funny that sleeping on a couch is tiring after a while.
Yeah, but it's also everything that comes with it because you just feel like you're in someone, or at least I did.
Yeah,
I felt like I was in people's ways, and like also all my friends that I met over there. Now they have like families; they all like kids and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not gonna be like, "Hey, you want another child? You want someone to imitate your child if he doesn't make it following his dream later on in life." Or something like that.
Good morning. Are those eggs for me? Oh, they're for your son?
I'll eat them if he doesn't finish them.
Yeah. You going to finish those?
Yeah.
To the little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good. You got it in there, though.
Yeah.
You know what it's like.
Yeah.
That's another place where I don't know the language of the scene, and I've never given it a shot.
But it's similar, like, I've heard a lot of people say this, too. It's similar to Canada, like, the mentality of Australia. I guess, for whatever reason, you can pontificate on that if you want.
Like, they think they're better than everybody?
Yeah, man. We are the kings.
We're both taking sips of green tea right now.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Well, that's nice. And then what do you have planned? Anything big planned coming up soon?
It's top secret. Nothing too big. I didn't want to travel too much.
Yeah.
But then now I got lazy, though, and I didn't book a lot of stuff. So that's why I don't have
Toronto
a
is
lot
an amazing
planned.
City to go out every night and work on your stuff. But nothing punches your stuff up better than taking it on the road, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you get more time on stage.
You get more time, but you also get to know, like, oh, what's been working forever in my comfort zone and what can work with, like, a brand new broad audience that no one knows me.
Yeah. And also, you know? It's great when you get to do, like, a weekend and you do, like, five shows and you're just doing longer sets.
But that's sort of what I was just talking about. I just did the. Should I even say? Well, like, I just did a weekend in another city, and the club, the audience was a bit, like, maybe broader and not as comedy savvy as I wanted them to be.
Yeah.
So then I'm sort of not really working on my stuff. I'm sort of, like, doing old stuff that I know works, and, you know, you get into those, that happens, too.
Yeah.
You can tinker with new stuff in the middle a bit, but you gotta like almost do the safety set.
But it's also like the way I see it too is it's almost like surfing, you know, because sometimes there's great waves and you catch a wave and you're like, oh, we can play with this.
Sometimes there's
and then other times it feels like you're in a paddle pool or something. And it's like, guys, there's no energy there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But it's incredible when you see.
I got off stage one of these nights and everyone was like, that was great, man. And I was like, that was so boring. So I don't get it. Like, I think it's just my attitude sometimes.
It's a, I don't know. I think there's so many different
I feel bad when people are like, that variables. Was so funny. And I'm like, that was boring to me. I think, I feel like a sociopath.
Yeah. But also it's almost like you're AI.
Yeah. Know? Well, that sometimes when you're like,
me. Your whole humanity is ending.
I'll stab you with a knife and I won't even know what I'm doing.
You're done. Soup.
Soup.
That's the sound of a knife going into your body all smooth.
Soup.
Like at the end of, remember that movie?
Which one?
Ex Machina?
Oh, I don't know if I watched
it. Oh, man. This robot AI woman.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind.
No, you can say it now because I said spoiler alert. Isn't that how that works?
Spoiler alert if you still want to see Ex Machina 3 years later.
Yeah.
The robot. There's a part where a robot stabs somebody.
Yeah.
And it's done so well because it's not like it's not how like a person would react to stabbing somebody. It's how like something that doesn't understand human pain would stab something. That image sticks in my mind a lot.
Do you think that's how like sociopaths
like it's like this.
Go about it?
And then the
oh,
person,
it's like very mechanical.
Mechanical, but like smooth.
Yeah,
it's weird. Yeah, I think a sociopath probably does that for sure, because I feel like a normal person, they would only stab someone if they absolutely had to protect themselves.
Imagine I just stabbed you right now, and you're like, yeah, exactly like
yeah,
that.
Like that. Oh, what the?
But did it look
I
right?
Was
yeah,
not a threat. Yeah, but people would act like they'd still wince because they know the pain they're inflicting.
Yeah,
whereas the robot doesn't know that. It's just like soup.
Don't you find that interesting though, how people have like similar reactions to things like that?
Yeah,
like you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
We're all beasts.
Ouch. Oochie.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest sounds, I think.
Like when you see something gross?
Just any time.
Wow, what is that movie where they're he imitates the person scraping shit off the shoe and they're like, it's really funny.
You're a tired man.
I freaking ate 4 tacos before coming here. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
When you texted me, I was eating tacos.
Really?
Yeah.
And just so you know, just like, I just want to know how comfortable is the chair?
It's really, so the thing is, if you, you're listening to this episode right now, and it's a good one, I promise, but it is going a bit slow. We're also in the most insanely comfortable chairs.
Yeah.
Where are these chairs from?
They're actually Brian Hatt's old chairs. He couldn't fit them in his new place. Yeah. So they're IKEA
That's
chairs.
So nice
they're
that
those
you got
standard,
them.
Like, comfy IKEA chairs.
That's so nice that you got them.
Yeah.
Your
nice
standard thing. IKEA chairs.
They are, though. They're those classics, you know? The classic.
They're beautiful.
What are they called?
They're so comfortable.
They probably have a weird name. They always have the weird
There's
name.
Canvas. They're canvas pillow sort of rocking chairs almost.
Yeah. They're almost like
so
they're like Swedish Muskoka chairs.
But you're right. I am acting tired. I'm asking you slow, simple questions. So then let's kickstart this and jump right into your utopia, and then we'll get some exciting stuff going on. Do you have right. any utopian ideas?
I got them.
I know you know the premise of the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, remember, it doesn't even have to be this planet. It could be anything you want.
Yeah. Do you know what though? I think there's a lot of stuff, right? Because it's like, where do you want to start?
Yeah. Me.
Where? Yeah, do you where like if you?
I used to try and guide them, but now I like the guest leading.
Oh,
yeah.
So
whatever you feel like is more passionate, the most passionate thing you want to say to you. Let's start with that.
I'd say the first thing would just be to, like, it might sound cheesy or whatever,
yeah,
but just, like, some fucking crazy good sort of just education system.
Wow, that's so weird because it sort of starts off with a point that I was leaving off with at the end of my last episode.
Really?
With Aaliyah Pabani.
I didn't.
Yeah, it's just like a one point. I was okay, but yeah. Let me hear your point first.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand themselves and the way the world works and how interactions.
That's what
work
I was fucking saying.
All that.
My last episode ended with, I think kids at a young age should maybe be taught to be in tune with their feelings and their emotions.
Yeah.
Right? Because we still live in a very heavily repressed society in that regard.
Oh, for sure. And that's why all this fucked up shit happens.
It's, yeah, me and Aaliyah were basically talking about the alt-right appear to be horny nerds.
Oh, that's so funny.
I mean, sorry, guys, but maybe a lot.
Imagine, though, they changed the name from alt-right to horny nerds. That would really take the sting out of the movement, eh?
They should change it to ain't right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm sorry. Listen, fellas. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, fellas.
But, like, yeah, maybe, you know, like...
Do you know what I...
It's complicated, obviously. Yeah. Different groups of people with varying opinions. It's complicated. But I think that a lot of issues in the world right now come from maybe people projecting their problems onto other people without dealing what's hurting them on the inside first.
Yeah, and it's...
And the education system could have courses that teach that early on in age so that people become comfortable with the good and bad feelings that they feel within themselves.
Yeah, and it's about getting the stigma removed from that.
Yeah.
Just being able to go like, hey, man, I'm thinking this weird shit. What's that mean? And then be like, you need more potatoes.
Speaking of stigmas, I was in Calgary recently for the Laugh Shop, and I would bring up... I have a bunch of new jokes about going to therapy, and when I ask if anyone goes to therapy in the audience, the butts got tight in the room most of the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like because maybe I don't want to paint Calgary with such a broad brush, but maybe because it's a bit more conservative over there, people still have a stigma about that.
But has no one watched The Sopranos? Tony went to fucking therapy.
Yeah, I know, but even in The Sopranos the whole time, Tony's got an issue with people knowing that he goes to therapy.
That's true.
And he's got an issue within himself about going, you know?
Yeah. All right.
I've only saw this first season.
Mr. Locke.
I don't know. I've only seen the first season, which is insane, yeah. I know. But I'm sure there's other seasons where he's like...
I watched Game of Thrones.
Whatever, I go to therapy, you guess.
Yeah. But...
Game of Thrones, they all go to therapy.
Yeah. The dragon's the therapist, right?
The dragon's like, I want to breathe fire, but I don't. I don't want to hurt anybody.
I'd like to just be able to do it.
Yeah. I'd like to be able to breathe fire on a whole horde of armies and not feel guilty about it.
Guilty.
If a dragon talked like that, hey, what's up?
Hey, bud. What's going on, man?
Nothing. Yeah. Okay, sorry, that was the dragon. Oh. I keep distracting you, though. I want to hear your opinions. Those are my opinions that I was sort of like weirdly touching on at the end of last episode, which is crazy.
The thing, too, is like the way I see it, too, is like right now, I think one of the most progressive fields in any avenue is sports. Because they'll utilize new findings the quickest, right? Because they want to win.
Right.
Right? So they're like, oh, this works now. If you shoot this way, or if you catch this way, or if you block this way,
then
everyone does it. And it happens like that. Whereas in every other avenue, it's like, I don't know. You know, so they have all these new findings with like neuroplasticity or whatever, or therapy.
Right.
And it takes so long for them to implement them. And it's because you have all these old guards that are like, well, this is my sort of way. I mean, I wrote a book.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of this. So I think, like, realistically, instead of having like a government where you have like a czar, sort of like one person in charge of like, say, like health and safety and one person in charge of environment, you just have a whole panel of like experts. And then once that person's like the ideas get outdated, then they get pushed aside. And it's not, and it, a lot of it, it's just there's all this collusion, right? Like all this bullshit with money and people making money.
It's
off
weird because the states are
ideas.
Making that giant like committee now out of old minded people.
Yeah, but that's like, it's almost,
it's like
what I was thinking. Like, I haven't looked into it a lot, but yeah. It seems to me like it's almost like this dying empire that's taking on, like, supporting the ideas that are killing it.
Yeah.
You know, in a last-ditch attempt to save it.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of being progressive, they're being the opposite of that.
Well, it's like a person that allowed themselves to be vulnerable in a relationship, and then they realize that their partner is a slightly volatile, and then they pull themselves back in and become this guarded dick from like when they were first dating.
Yeah. It is, isn't
is it?
It?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just a ragtag but slapdash metaphor. But
That's a good. I like
not,
that.
I, this is weird because I'm calling back another episode now.
Right.
When Tim Steeves was on, we ended up, he lent me a book that is by, what is it? Oh, jam. It was a golf book. Dr. Something.
Dr. Something.
But it was about, like, it was, he said it helps your golf game like crazy. But also, geez, how did I forget the guy's name?
Was it, Alice Cooper wrote a book about it.
No, it's not Alice Cooper. It's like,
I was going to put a jacket
but on. It's about the mental aspect of golf. And to be honest, it barely talks about golf. It talks about your mental game. And in a way that it's almost like, you know, it is about the getting the psychology.
Yeah.
And my dad, I gave it to my dad because, he is a big golfer, and he was like, I really liked it, but it's interesting. It wasn't really about the game of golf. It was about the psychology of it. And I'm like, well, that's the thing that, screws me up the most. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. Like, I remember, you know, Jeff Leeson.
Yeah,
I was playing him ping pong at the Absolute thing in Kingston, and Absolute Con.
Doc. It's Bob Rotella. That's his name. Sorry,
oh,
the golf
okay.
book. Sorry,
no worries.
But yeah, Jeff Leeson. Sorry,
and we were playing ping pong, and I'm okay at ping pong, but yeah. Him and I think it was Fouad was there, and they were really good, right? But then this one game, I finally started winning, right? And it was beating Jeff Leeson, and he been owning the table for like whatever 10 games.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like I was quite a bit ahead, you know. And I was like, oh,
I cleared my throat too.
Yeah.
I'm like
maybe we're just the same person.
Yeah.
But and then I remember like just saying to him like passingly, but it's I was like, you're only playing yourself, you know. And then he's like, oh yeah. And then he just started kicking my ass again.
You helped him.
Yeah. And he told me, I saw him at a gig later. And he's like, I think about that from time to time. And it's true. That's because when you get in your own head, that's who you're playing against, right? And they have those things. There's like Chris Roberts was telling me that it happens to
backhatchers
sometimes where they can't throw back to the pitcher.
What?
And they have to start going to therapy and stuff. Like, it doesn't happen often, but they get this mental block where they could still throw the first, they could still throw the third or whatever, but for some reason they can't throw to the pitcher.
What the heck is that?
I don't know, but that's your brain, right? Your brain just fucks you sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, I'll say.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing, like just getting back to the like the education thing. But the thing is, it's like not just education, like was 1 + 1, was 1 + 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's how to deal with everything. But also I think along the way, throughout life, you should just have to, do you know how you have to go and renew your license and shit like that? You should have to renew different aspects as well. Like just be, they'll be like, all right, so how are you dealing with yourself this way, that way, and the other? Because that's the foundation for everything, really.
Well, that's why I started taking this acting class, because I have been acting on and off, obviously, professionally and not for like 10 years or so, but I'm a clown. Like I come at it from a comedy like perspective. Like you're going to, when I go for auditions and when I act and stuff, you're getting Chris's version of everything, and I wanted to make it better, like more diverse, and challenge myself. And now it's like, yeah, oh man, it is fucking uncomfortable. But most people do not want to adapt because they don't want to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But imagine, like...
Imagine if you will.
Imagine if you will. I'm a good actor. No, but I wish. But the thing is just for people in general, yeah, the throwing yourself into the fire again to break some of the old habits in yourself.
That's supposed to be good for your brain, too.
I think it is. I think, you know, I don't know. I keep bringing this up, but I did the first class last night. And to be honest, most of the time I was embarrassed with myself. A lot of it was because I didn't have the words memorized for the scene we were doing that day. But also because I was feeling insecure and in that regard, I still retreated back into my old bag of tricks, like how to make the crowd laugh. And that's not good for acting. That's like defense mechanisms. And so you got to break it down. You got to feel humiliated a bit.
Yeah.
Your pride has to take a kick, you know?
Yeah, because I guess it's that thing where you're taking leaps and stuff you haven't.
So you'll need courses just to have psychology courses just for the people that don't want to hurt themselves by going through change again.
Yeah.
A little burp there.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
But picture this.
Picture it, man.
A class, like a full generation of kids that learn to be like emotional and it's okay, express their feelings and how they're feeling and it's okay, and that, you know, and then that helps with like racism and sexism and all these kind of isms and phobias and stuff, because then you realize like, oh, you're just projecting uncomfortableness onto the other person because you're uncomfortable within yourself. Now that generation's older, and then you've got the younger generation going to classes learning that too, but they're also coming home to parents that are okay with that stuff too, because our generation still mostly raised by parents that don't express themselves and are a bit more repressed, right? Because they're from an earlier, like,
yeah,
you know, me generation or whatever. I don't know.
But it's like this thing, too, where the recipe also always has to be, like, changed and stuff, because there's certain things. Like, I forget what it was. Like, you know, like, I think what happened was, you know how they got rid of all those games where you lose in some schools?
Yeah.
They found it just bred narcissism.
Yeah,
you know what
course.
I mean? Because it's like, no, you have to learn how to win and lose.
Yeah, you have to learn how to take it on the chin.
Yeah.
That's sort of what we're talking about. Right. Yeah.
You can't. And it's also, it's like learning how to deal with stuff rather than trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, well, we're going through, I mean, geez, this comes up every time on the fucking podcast, but it's because it's like the biggest thing that's happening in our society right now is everybody's trying to correct everybody else to the point where you're like, what am I supposed to be like? You tell me. Because honestly, it's like literally nothing. Nothing is good. Right?
It seems that way, but that's what the news is turned into, right?
Maybe I'm just getting beaten down by the media, yeah.
No, it's easy to do, right? Because that's all the stories you
really
get. But
it's social media, too. It's all friends who mostly agree with each other, still policing each other every day.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay.
But it's also this whole thing where it's like, people like to step on the throats of other people's ideas without even asking why they're thinking that way.
Yeah.
So instead of having this thing where they could actually gain, like, build a bridge between two people and some semblance of fucking understanding, they're just like, no, you're thinking wrong. And it's like, how do you know, where does that thought even come from?
And that's what I'm saying. Stupid. So it's like,
yeah,
if there is a far left leaning social justice warrior or a far right leaning, almost like, you know, racist freak or whatever, if they could remember a time when they were taught to figure out where these true feelings are coming from within inside themselves, like the psychological aspect of it, they'll probably be able to handle it better, and they'll stop telling the rest of the world what's wrong with them.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's all about exposure too, right? So if people just hang out with other people,
yeah,
and you find out, oh, We're just all fucking people.
I'll double that and say if people hang out with other people and express their feelings. But sometimes when I do say that and I worry about then like a few generations from now, we become this really like feelings oriented, emotions oriented. And then all of a sudden this really cold, stoic warrior like tribe just comes in and slices us all in swords and goes, men rule. And then we're like, oh my God. like sometimes I worry, and I'm really ignorant and uneducated, but sometimes I worry that if we are like, if we do come to terms with all this, like sort of more communal emotional, like emotional understanding sort of way, I feel like maybe that's what, like, and then we're all up in our heads about that kind of stuff. I feel like, I hope that's not what Rome was like. And then the barbarians just came in and were like, what? You know, yeah. they don't explain anything to me. I'm just going to kill you and eat all your bread and worse.
But I think now the more or less the world's like interconnected.
Yeah.
So like, even if like,
but there are barbarians fighting us.
Oh, yeah, but.
But they're like fringe element, I guess.
I don't know.
At best. See, I don't know either.
The thing is, like, I don't know how much to trust the media and how much not to, and
I know
all this other stuff.
Maybe we should move on to talking about that, because I do know what you mean.
Like, I think, like, ideally with the media, what I'd like to see happen is where when the news program shows up, it on the front, you know how it's always got that crazy like graphic where the world spins and news comes around and everything?
Yeah,
it just tells you how accurate it is as well. It's like 65% accurate since 1993.
Really?
You know? Yeah, and then each newscaster has an accuracy beside their name.
I feel like each news program should just start with a guy going, "Frightened yet?"
Yeah.
Hold on.
but you know what I mean? Because I think that would really make people take more, like, I don't know, it would make you be like, oh, okay, so this guy talks, or this lady talks a lot of shit.
My friend and I were talking the other day about how the media is literally just a business.
Yeah.
And then And then to generate ad revenue. And then there are people that are literally glued to the news 24/7. You're right. And sometimes I am a victim of that to a degree. And then I'll go, and then you go out and go, did you know this is happening? Are you worried about this? And all these people are doing nice things with their life on a nice day. And they're like, I don't know. No. Okay. Are you okay? You know?
Yeah.
And then you realize that, oh shit, it's like I got caught up in any kind of big advertising thing, like as if I'm like watching a bunch of Marvel movies,
yeah,
or like a Netflix series that I'm, you know, like binge watching.
Real.
Yeah,
yeah. But imagine the news, like,
but the
had
news
to, somehow it was
the news is not benevolent. Is what I'm getting
into
at
a person.
Yeah,
so,
oh,
like
God.
Fox News looked like this, and CNN looked like this.
They'd all look like News. In the early 80s when like all the main actors were like Schwarzenegger, Stallone, like just these muscle-bound freaks with machine guns.
Or they might
guns.
Be like tinfoil hat-wearing weirdos.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Like, did you hear about this?
Yeah. A bomb blew up in the middle of such and
somewhere.
Such a country. I'm like, I've never heard of that country in my life. But run, bombs are coming.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it does. But it's that thing where they give you where it feels as though, I don't know if this is like on purpose or not, but it feels like they give you enough information so you shit your pants, but not enough. So like it's almost to keep you on edge, not to be like, hey, here's what's happening to help the situation. It's always like, hey man, it's just over the horizon there's trouble. There's always trouble over the horizon.
And once you become aware of it, it's almost like real news headlines start to look like onion parodies and stuff.
Yeah, but also sometimes you read the article and you're like, oh, the fucking headline's so off.
Yeah,
it's the person that wrote the headline wrote the article. So,
yeah,
they fucking got me to read this piece of shit.
I know. I bet you there's like a whole year of college just devoted to
in journalism.
Nailing that headline.
And there's always one person in class that always knows how to Do it the bath?
Yeah, and it's probably like taught by a marketing teacher. And you know.
Yeah. But it's nuts too, because that's another thing where companies can pay to put articles in newspapers that are just long ads that look like articles, but they're actually just ads.
A nice utopian thing would be no news.
Or just news where it's like, hey, this is the issue. Here's how to help.
I like the here's how to help point. It's,
yeah.
It's true. We're never like, yeah, they're never like, come on, everyone, let's get together. It's
well,
always
not
like,
even everyone, just like five people.
It's always like, run.
Yeah.
Norm
Keep
McDonald,
running.
Norm McDonald's bit about the missing woman is one of the best bits.
What's
ever.
That one? What is he saying that one?
It's just about how...
Is it on one of his stand-up specials?
Yeah, it's on me doing stand-up from 2011.
Oh, that's such a good special.
Yeah,
both his specials are great.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And the woman missing, at first he's like, I don't give a shit. I don't on the count of, I don't know who Janice is because of Janice. But then after a while, they keep showing you found footage of Janice enjoying pizza and then her friends talk about her. And then you're like, oh, I hope they find Janice. And he becomes he does like a nice little sort of subtle dig at how they get you invested in something
right.
that you never would have noticed in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a good, like, just analogy of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he also starts the joke by saying, like, now news is like 24 hours long, right? And back in my day, it would only be half an hour. he's like, and even then they couldn't fill the half hour. There'd be like, you know, a story at the end about some fucking caribou or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's like, and now I still feel, even though the news is 24 hours now,
it's
I still feel like it should only
just
be half,
half
hour.
An hour. Yeah.
So
there's
yeah,
still
you're right.
Local news. That's that.
No, we're in a point in society where we need to start. We need to all be more aware of that and discern a bit more about what's important and what's just like yanking our chains and.
But that's the great thing about now too, is because of things like YouTube or whatever, you can do your. But it's dangerous as well because anyone can do it.
That's the thing, you know? Man. Like,
but it's just like
I know because some conspiracy theorists that would like show me videos and they'd be like, "Watch what this real scientist is saying for real."
Yeah,
and then I'd be like. Is this his living room? And is that his wife? And is that the sweater he chose? Like, it's just like you made it at home. You have no idea that he's a scientist or not.
Yeah. There's no credential. Like, whenever there's those conspiracy theories, yeah. those videos, you know, they're like the Rockefeller family or whoever, blah, blah, blah. And they always have the music and then all these facts. But it's yeah. just like, where did you get
those facts?
Are you
talking
about
Zeitgeist?
Whatever.
Zeitgeist was the most, like, you saw it, right?
I think so.
It was the most, like, made on iMovie. Someone obviously had a goal, but it had no credentials whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was just, like, super fear-mongering paranoia.
But it's crazy, right? Because sometimes, like, I know somebody I'll try having a conversation with them about something, you know? I'm not going to name names or anything, but they'll always be like, how do you know? How do you know that's even true? Right. And I'll be like, oh, because there's studies on that. And he's like, how do you know those studies are true? And then I'm like, okay, so if we're going to argue like that, none of us have a leg to stand on, because if I can't believe that this institution's telling me the right things, then how are your institutions selling the right things? Then it's just like, why are we even talking?
Well, yeah,
it's there's nothing to talk about then.
But it is hard because you'd be like, yeah, you could see this guy in with glasses on and a sweater, and he's like, I've held this press conference today to and then it's like, dad, and it's like, I'm having a press conference.
Yeah,
you know, like that is the super phony guy. But then there's also like scientists that go on record and they make puff piece articles. But really, yeah, those guys have been bought by corporations too to promote a certain agenda. So, yeah, it's like you got to read between the lines, I guess. And like, it's weird.
But it's just crazy, right? Because like life is just about trying to keep it going, like in the simplest form. It's like, oh, I need to eat today and get water, and that's it. And then sleep somewhere that's not wet.
Hopefully
and then
kiss a thing.
Yeah, and then hopefully kiss a thing. And if it's a clear night, I get to see some stars, which is pretty sweet, you know? Like, it used to just be that, and now it's so convoluted. But in underlying, there's always that, oh, I just need food and water.
Yeah, we're still literally just driven by our animal instincts.
Yeah,
and
but
sometimes
then we
this convoluted smokescreen stuff that we've created for each other is sort of just a competitive thing to see who's the survival of the fittest through the thick of shit.
Well, yeah,
you know what I
mean,
like who can move forward
because of losers. Right,
like
because
complaining about
in
shit?
in the true essence of survival of the fittest, it's going to be the fittest animals that make it through, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're not going to have people that need glasses or whatever, you know.
So
and
you think the losers create these distractions to help slow down the winners?
Yeah, like the first king or whatever was probably the biggest loser, and he just needed a way to find out how to hold something above other people so that they could get some nice food too.
Yeah.
And instead of they got tired of eating.
So he drowned them with paranoia.
Yeah. Or he killed enough of them until they were like, okay, we'll follow you.
I think that's a good way of thinking about it.
But now we're in the middle of this, so it doesn't matter.
Really. Yeah, I know. But if we go into someone's house and CNN is on, we'll have the power to look at CNN and go, I know you. No. Turn it off. Let's eat some pie.
Pie.
Yeah, pie is
real.
What's
your favorite kind? Do you like pie?
Yeah, lemon meringue.
Yeah.
First, foremost.
Really?
But then I'll go apple, blueberry, yeah,
right.
Whatever.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, lemon meringue. Both Kathleen and I love lemon meringue, which is nice. It's nice to have a favorite pie as your wife. That was a fucked up sentence.
I know what you meant, but you might want to rewind and record over that. No.
that was like a pun that you'd find in like a 1960s Playboy joke column.
Beep boo.
It's always nice to have a favorite pie as a wife.
Wait.
Honk.
Yeah,
so we just kind of went off on like, it's a little muddy, but we're making points.
Yeah, it's as muddy as the world.
It's nice, though. We're trying to clear the mess for ourselves.
But, yeah, I think it's all just
it's hard to get a clear
shitstorm.
It's hard to get a clear perspective because one thing comedians do, and right now they're getting a lot of credit for putting light on talking straight about news and their acts and their stuff. But also, comedians are such like almost like self-important dandies that really like, yeah, we're summarizing the ideas of the world for you guys, but we're also like all up in our own ass about coming up with the best metaphor and the best analogy to the point where it's just more mud as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's still important and good.
In a way.
But you know what I mean? It's like, oh.
I want to just quit.
I want to become a gardener. Yeah. I told my friend that I want to be a gardener the other day.
I think it'd be cool to be like a guy that just sets up people's indoor farms, you know, just to go like, this is all you need in your backyard, and now you have all the vegetables.
Is that your utopia?
Yeah, just being like someone that's like, here you go, and this turns your shit back into clean water.
Did you have some other utopian ideas that...
I think it would be
great. I should say at this point, before I keep distracting you... Or,
that's fine.
Cutting you off, but I should say at this point that the reason why these themes are... are going like when you watch Pat do stand up too, these themes are in your stand up. That's why I think
some
it's good
it.
That you're talking about all this. Some
yeah.
of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you talk about what you care about the world in your stand up. And you take the piss out of it and stuff, and it's nice.
Yeah, I think it's like important to laugh at things, but not I think my favorite comedy is the stuff that makes you laugh at stuff, but not in a way where it undercuts the importance of it, but in a way where it makes you go, oh, that's not as scary as I thought it was.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a big difference between going, yeah. oh, this issue isn't a really big problem versus, oh, this issue is, we could actually solve this if we wanted to, and it's not as scary as we thought it was.
This convo reminds me of that one of the best Bill Hicks jokes, like, because Bill Hicks was always like, we're in hell.
Right.
But really, he has that joke about watching the news and feeling like you're in hell, but then you turn it off and go outside, and like the birds are chirping, and it's a beautiful evening or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, as much as he started that whole like corny sort of truthsayer version of stand up. You know, there's a lot of imitators of him that suck.
Right. Well, you could say like Lenny Bruce started that.
Yeah. Right.
Or Lenny there was Bruce. Always people talking shit like.
Well,
that.
The jesters.
But I know what you
the
mean.
The jesters used to say that about the king, and then the king would be like, "All right."
But I think the best part about.
But I like that joke a lot. I think that's one of his best ones because it summarizes perfectly the truth about all the noise in his own act. What he was saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which reminded me of what you were just saying now.
But that's also, like, I heard like Sam, they asked him if he liked watching like other political comedians. He's like, "Nah, man, I'm already in my head enough. I like watching like weird shit."
Who said that?
Doug Stanhope.
Oh yeah, nice. Yeah, he's great.
But yeah, I don't know.
I was reading I was looking up like classic bar jokes and stuff. I'm trying to like make my stand up sound a bit more like classic.
Yeah.
And just for my own kicks. And then I read this article, like a bunch of comedians were giving their favorite, like just street jokes basically. And Doug Stanhope had the best one. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So this guy is driving down a rural road. I'm saying it my style, but this is the joke. Driving down a rural road, and he looks over on the farm field. He sees this farmer with a bunch of pigs around him and then a tree, an apple tree. And he'd lift up a pig and one pig would eat the apple. And he'd put it down, and he'd lift up another pig, and the pig would eat an apple off the branch, and he put it down, and so on. The guy pulls his car over. He's like, "What? I got to..." And then he just, like, runs over to the farmer. And he's like, "Hey, I'm sorry. I just got to ask you a question. Why don't you knock the... why do you feed the pigs like that? You can knock the apples off so they all eat at the same time, save a bunch of time, right?" And the farmer goes, "What's time to a pig?" It's all I don't know where Doug Stanhope first heard it, but he printed it in this article, and it's like, now that's my favorite joke ever.
Yeah, that's such a funny just thing.
What's time to a pig?
That's so great.
Yeah,
because that's another thing too. I get in my utopia there'd be no clocks. And no 9 to 5.
I would love that. Clocks
I'd get rid of a fucking the calendars. No days of the week. No,
that's great.
None of that shit.
I like that.
Get fucked.
Yeah,
like if someone's like, "What day is it?" It's like, get fucked. Have some fun. Go fuck yourself.
If you ever want to see the worst version of me, watch me racing against the clock when I'm late for something.
You can't beat it.
I'm so mad. I hurt my arms, they always smash into the wall. I hit my leg, I drop everything.
Yeah.
I forget something.
Yeah, like even within spaces you're so familiar with, you still bump into things.
I know. I hate it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm worried about with my daughter is that she's going to see me late for something one day. And I'm just going to be like, fuck, you know, like between my teeth and be like, that happens sometimes. Okay, sweetie.
That's so funny.
Like she'll just see me being an irresponsible idiot.
Yeah. But we've all seen our parents do that.
I know. It's also like, it's kind of like a, well, that's life, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like no clocks a lot.
No clocks, no calendars.
And I like how he said that, you know, I mean, no calendars. I like how we have said that the news and all that paranoid, fear-mongering shit is just like this sort of like distraction from losers.
Yeah.
Or distraction by losers so people can't. But be better than them.
But that's what I think a lot of issues are.
Well, in a way, right? The government, like, they're like conspiracy theorists, and I meant some like, of think that government suppresses people by keeping them in fear. And that's actually one of the things the Republican Party actually admits to. Is like, yeah, we are like a fear-based sort of like, you know, because they're not even, a lot of them aren't religious, but they'll do the Christian thing, the God-fearing stuff. Like, I've actually heard that, like, that's a political strategy that they use.
See, because I'm, like, if this is kind of a conspiracy theory, or it is.
Well, when Republicans.
Because a conspiracy is just more than one person working towards a goal, right? Like, that's, like, conspire to do something. But that whole thing, like, all these, whether it's exists or not, the fallout's the same. So it's if it's intentional or not, it doesn't matter. The fallout's the same. But all of these issues that are sort of like stupid ones, like say like how some countries don't have gay marriage yet, you know, or there'll be like wage disparity and all this other garbage. It's almost like they because it's easy enough for them to just go, it's gone. These people can do this now. Everyone's the same, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's almost like they put so many hurdles in the way of getting to equality or whatever you want to call it, you know? And it's just so that they can get away with keeping on and sticking their dick in the machine.
Being powerful. Having all the money, being powerful.
Because if that
no
was
one can
all
challenge
out of the
them
way,
if they're all like distracted by all these,
it's all these
tiny little distractions. Well,
it's like,
I've never looked at social media and like the news and thought so much that the words, the expression divide and conquer is most prevalent than right now.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. We're all policing each other, mad at each other, yelling at each other, but all of us are fucking powerless in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all bossing each other around. Some of it is nice. Some of it is going into a nice direction. Like some people that have need a voice have well-deserved voices at this point. It's nice. But if you look at it from a bird's eye view, it's like the meat is just over there, but the pile of ants are fighting themselves like 2 feet away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, go to the fucking meat.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing.
The meat's right there, man. The meat's right there.
No, but we're discussing something.
See, that's the thing. Fanciful fucking metaphors, analogies, whatever.
You're a loser.
I'm going to become a gardener and blow my brains out and bury my own head.
Sick. This makes the best soil.
The Tale of the Gardener Who Buried His Own Head by Edgar Allan Peepee.
Edgar Allan Peepee Poo Poo.
I also want to say that I sound passionate, but really I'm just jacked off of green tea.
Woo!
Woo!
Ay, ay, ay.
Liquid passion juice.
Yeah. But I think the ultimate thing is like...
I'm changing the name of this podcast to Spitballin'.
Spitballin', baby.
Okay, sorry. I interrupted for the last time.
That's fine. No, it won't be the last time. But just like to get all that other shit out of the way, like just to people just hanging out and just talking shit. Like that's all. Like if you think about it in the like grand scheme of things, right? Like we have eyes, which is great, you know? Like if you think about it, like we're... Of what we know, we're the only planet that inhabits life close to here, right? Within driving distance of or whatever. But it's insane that we live on a planet where there's tasty food, you know, and you can take naps and you can, you know, just like swim and you can do all this other, and you can see stars and we're all just like fighting over bullshit instead of just being like, hey, eat this, take a nap over there, look at those stars. Like that's all we should be doing.
I know.
Like all this other shit is stupid.
We should all be hugging under the stars after eating like a curry chicken roti.
Or if you don't like someone, just like go like, oh, I'm hanging out with these people and stop fucking with those people. But I know it's like, it sounds really hyper stupid, like idealistic and oversimplified and stuff like that. But the other thing is too is there's probably too many fucking people.
That's
or who
it
knows
is.
If that's even a thing.
Oh, you think we're being lied to?
Who knows?
Oh my god.
Like it's just, but that's the other thing, right? It's like, where do you stop asking questions? And it's just so dumb.
It's, I guess there's just some people that are so fixated on the idea that they know the exact way that the world should be run, that they just go crazy and they join and people start following them. And then it becomes these weird sort of subgroups of angry people. I don't know.
But it must be weird too, to have like certain amount of power where you can actually go over there. And then a bunch of people go that way. And you're like, no, that way now. And it's like, ugh. It's almost like a giant game of Simon Says, but when people don't listen to Simon, they die.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Simon Says pay your taxes and you don't. It's like Simon Says you're going to jail. You know? It's just so weird. And it's, I understand there probably has to be some sort of, because like in this house, for instance, right? There's like 7 people living in it. 2 people live in the basement, so that's their own sort of thing. So it's 5 people sharing 1 bathroom and 1 kitchen. If there's not some semblance of order, the bathroom is just going to be run over with like shit and mildew and all that. And the kitchen is just going to be overrun with plates. You know?
Yeah.
So there has to be some order where it's like, all right, you wash your dishes, do all this and that.
But in a smaller community like that.
Even this house has problems.
The consideration seems more reasonable.
Yeah.
But maybe it seems like when there's just such a giant mass number of people, that's when the imagination runs wild and people don't. They can't imagine everybody getting along and being democratic with each other.
No, and they want to move to Mars, but that's just this portion of society that's like, it's almost like, say everyone here, say this was planet Earth, there's five people living in here or seven, and they're like, oh, if us three live together, it would be fine. And then they go to Mars and then they're like, well, no, I should have my own planet. And then it's like, what's after Mars? Like, we're not escaping. The problems are still going to be the same.
I always think that because, like, you can sum it up with travel, right? It's like when you first start out as a poor person traveling, you take the bus. And then when you start, like, making money, you get a car and you drive your car. And then you get to a point where you're driving in a limo.
Yeah.
Or someone's driving you. And then when you fly, you know, same thing. It's like coach, first class, and then finally you get your private jet.
Yeah.
Or like rich people, they build mansions in like rich secluded neighborhoods. So you can't even see the neighbor. And then if you're super rich, then all of a sudden you're on an island.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the deal with running away? Like, the more you have, the more you separate yourself from civilization.
Like, yeah, it's the same thing. Even like if you just look at like a building,
like people that live close together,
the penthouse is the furthest away from the ground. You know,
yeah,
they have their own floor. And all
yeah, they're
shit.
Like, I'm close to the sky, so you know,
yeah.
But like, yeah.
I'm closer to God than you.
So there's something about like maybe this is like fucking sociology 101, and I just dropped out of fucking all schools. But the thing is like. Yeah, it's like...
Like, when you dropped out of school, did you renounce all schools? Is that what you're saying?
All schools
I dropped out of all schools.
Yeah. I was like, schools are for all fools.
Schools are for all fools. School sucks with the
X. No, I wish I stayed in school, but I was just like too antsy. I was bad. I couldn't pay attention.
Yeah, but I had this conversation with a friend, and it's. I think this is the thing. Like, whenever anyone says something like that, like he was like, "Oh, I wish I could play piano." I'm like, "Well, you still can."
Yeah,
you know. And he's like, "No. I wish I could play now. I don't want to start playing now. I wish my younger self had the gusto, and then I wouldn't have to deal with all the learning."
Well, I don't want to go back to school.
Yeah, like
I'd be in hell.
No, but as soon as if you were, let's say you're like, "I wish I went back to school," and then tomorrow you went back to school, you'd be in class and be like, "Oh, this is why I didn't like school."
Yeah, I literally couldn't sit still.
It's like getting back together with someone.
But one of the problems about being like a dropout is a university dropout is like, then I will think I have all these like big, ginormous, epic thoughts, like these epiphanies. And I'm like, that's what it is. And then more educated people will be like, yeah.
Mr. Kent thought about that in 1817.
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
I know.
Yeah, but then...
And I read stuff, too. I do read. I read philosophy and stuff, but... yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You still can't formulate everything until you've experienced more stuff on your own.
Yeah, but also that's why I think the whole thing about having, like, a panel of experts dealing with something instead of other stuff. Like, with the...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think... Every leader, regardless of country, should be able to just go, okay, this guy's heading this now. It should be like, no, these are the most qualified people to be in charge of the environment. These
but
are
that's
the
why the super, we just, like, we touched on why the super rich people don't think communally like the five people that live together in one house.
Yeah.
Because they live secluded in the middle of nowhere. And so they don't think of us as like, a community with themselves. They think of themselves as above the community, and we are like ants basically, or rats or mice. But then, like, you know, it's like,
but it's also everyone has their own issues, right? So, and you only have so much time in a day and all this other stuff, so you can't really understand other people. You have a hard enough time even understanding yourself.
But if there is like, but you can sort of make a correlation. It's like, oh, the richer you get, the more you separate yourself from society. And then also the richer you get, the more easy it is for you to run society.
Yeah, but imagine you were so rich.
So you're running
powerful,
society, but you're separated from society.
You're so rich and powerful, you're never thirsty or hungry. So like you didn't understand thirst or hunger.
Yeah.
So you're like, what, people need water and food?
No, they don't. I have water all the time.
Yeah. You know?
But that's what's happening.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, what do you mean people feel cold?
Yeah.
I'm never cold.
You don't feel cold. I have sweaters.
But that sums it up, right?
Yeah.
You know? It's like that whole thing. Like I don't think I think like what they should do is dismantle every kind of government and go, oh, this government deals like make like a like it's what it is too is like no one's polarized really. It's all we're all dichotomies. So we're all collections of different political ideas. Like no one's a true Democrat or no one's a true Republican. You know, you have some stuff that leans this way and some stuff that leans that way. And you're just an amalgamation of all that bullshit.
Yeah, you know? But do you think the world should be just like a giant hippie commune?
I don't know about that.
But your true passion is just like eat good food and look at the stars.
Yeah, that's all we should be doing.
So what kind of community is that?
Yeah, do you know what though? It's this whole thing too. Is like you can't get rid of extreme poverty unless you get rid of extreme wealth, right? Because it's just like. It's just
they are hogging it from people.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. That's why there's extreme poverty. It's because all these people are living in these mansions that they don't really need and all this stuff.
If you became super successful, would you live in a mansion?
I don't think I could. First of all, I'd be too scared. It's so big and like echoey, you know? I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
Yeah, whenever I think of living in a mansion, I imagine myself using the toilet and then a cold breeze is making my butt chilly.
Like that's what keeps you from a mansion?
Well, if I had the opportunity, I'd be like, well, I don't want a breezy, cool bathroom.
Yeah. Then the bathroom's so big and it's so far away.
You're like, hello? Hello?
It takes you like...
The tiles are cold. The porcelain's cold.
Your bed's so big it takes so long to just like shift. Like if you happen to roll into the middle of it and then you wake up and you have to go to the bathroom, it takes you like how long to get off of it?
There's always a ghost in a mansion too.
There has to be.
Are you going to pay...
Like if you're a ghost, you don't pay rent. Where are you going to live?
Mansion.
Yeah, man. You're not going to live in a fucking basement apartment.
Do I sound like a moron spitballing these basic ideas?
Who cares? Do you know the thing is? It's like as long as people enjoy it, right? You're not hurting anyone, are you?
But they might be smarter than me being like, oh, brother, we know.
Yeah, but then... Like,
these are things I'm passionate about. You can know about it and still be like fucking pissed about it.
Yeah, are you scared of the smart people judging you?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, that'd be the best if Neil deGrasse Tyson listens to this. Do you know what, though? I think there's a big misconception about what smart is, too.
Let's hear it.
Like,
Tell me about it.
I don't know, because I remember one of my friends, he told me most geniuses are depressed. And he read an article about that. And I'm like, buddy, don't fucking give me that. Cause you know, you're just saying that because you think you're smart and you're depressed.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing the internet can do now. You can type in two words and however you're feeling. And then you'll find an article that justifies what you want to hear.
Right. But I think there's so many misconceptions on that front though. Like, cause with that in particular, it's like, if you were really smart, wouldn't you be able to figure out a way not to be depressed? Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's true genius lies in that. And then you have, like, the thing about Einstein being a genius, right? But then he developed all these theories that developed A-bomb, and now look where we're at. If Einstein really was a genius, he'd have the forethought to go, these people can't handle this. But he was put in a position...
But he did regret it.
Where, yeah, he was put in a position where they thought the Germans were developing it, so he did that. So that's a bit different, right? Because he did try to stop it. But, I don't know, I think, like... I'm an idiot too, you know, so I don't know. But I think like real smart people have the ability to communicate their ideas to other people and they don't think they're above anyone else. Whenever anyone thinks they're above anyone, they're a fucking idiot.
Right.
That's what I think. You know?
Yeah.
Like, fucking moron.
That's a nice point.
They're just like, oh, I'm smarter than you and you're an idiot. It's like, well, no, you're not. You can't communicate your idea to this person. So you're the idiot.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe it's like they would be like, okay, well, we can't talk about this yet because you got to understand this, this, and that first. And then we can talk about that.
Yeah.
They're like, how does nuclear fission work? It's like, well, maybe you should first learn how to what a chain reaction is, you know, or something like that.
I should get Noam Chomsky on this thing.
Yeah, and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, I would love to do a part two of this episode with you and Noam Chomsky. So then he's listening to us and just like rolling his fucking
eyes. He's like, oh guys. But I think too, it's like,
oh guys.
guys, let me get, wouldn't that be wicked if he sent him it and he just had a podcast called I Interject, and then he would just be like, well, actually this, that, and the other, and then the podcast continues.
Chomsky's notes.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Any other utopian ideas?
I think everyone should get, like, the living wage is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone should basically be provided with what they need to live, but then say you're like, I want a pair of Air Jordans. It's like, okay, then you got to get a job.
Yeah.
You get these shoes, which are fine, you know, and you get this food and this, and it's all good.
Do you think, like, that's what's going to happen? People get a living wage, but they'll just waste it?
I don't know. The thing is with AI, it could kill all of us or it could help all of us. It's just the thing I believe is, like, you should always look at worst case scenario and if you're willing to deal with it, right?
Worst case scenario is the robot stabs you with a knife, like, soup.
Cold-heartedly.
Yeah. And doesn't even know that,
soup?
The real damage of what it does.
Yeah. Are you willing to deal with that?
Well, they had to shut down a bunch of those robots that were developed their own
language, more efficient the Facebook language. One.
That's insane.
Yeah. But who knows what they were talking about? They could have been, like, pull my finger. You know, they could have been like, I wish I could fart, or who knows?
I don't know. I think they were probably talking about how dumb we are.
Yeah, these guys are idiots. Let's scare them a little bit, sort of thing.
Well, it's like if we were invented by frogs.
Why frogs?
Because they're cute and they hop around and they have their system. But really, when you look down at them, you're like, this is pathetic.
You think that's what AI thinks about us?
Yes, of course.
They say all that stuff. They're cute. They fight over stupid shit, but really, they're pathetic.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
One other thing that I would get rid of is shit products.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Like, we don't need a shit version of everything.
Right.
You know?
But then the problem with that is the better product will just fleece you.
Yeah. But also, everything's got a... There's no waste. You know? Because, like, we as a society or humans invented waste because everything else would just be, like, turned back into whatever. You know? Like, animal shit and piss stuff out. And then that shit would be, like... You know, so it would feed the next thing. It would be fertilizer for the plants, and then that blah 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 yada yada yada. But now we're just like, there's garbage, and it's sitting there forever. Let's put it in the ocean.
So we'll just hang out eating tomatoes all the time.
Just tomatoes.
You should tell the audience that you're a vegetarian.
Audience,
you're a vegetarian.
I am. I should tell them.
Yeah.
I used to have this joke. I'd say like. Something like, I'm a vegetarian, and I go, I don't think I'm better than you. I know I am.
I don't eat meat. I meat eat.
Sick, bro.
There, that's my vegetarian joke.
Wee.
I don't eat meat. I meat eat.
Beep, beep, beep.
I was just driving back from that Autumn Jaunt 2 road trip that I did with Tom Henry and Sarah Hennessy. And I came up with a funny... We went to a restaurant that somebody recommended, and it was only okay. And I came up... It was fine. It was fine. It was fine. But then I came up with an idea for giving a good review for a restaurant there, you didn't like the food. So ask me how the food was.
How was the food?
Well, I love eating. eating was great.
Yeah.
Eating food was great. I love it.
But the food.
Yeah. I love eating, and it had food, so it was great. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Nice little sidewinder.
Do you know there's an Irish saying, so... Like, oh. So I was like eating at my friend's house when I was a kid. His dad's Irish, you know.
Yeah.
And just like his mom made food, or he did, I forget. When the parents made food, and I'm like, oh man, this meal's great. Thank you so much. And the dad just goes, hunger is the best sauce.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, buddy, I just why'd you have to undercut my compliments?
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird. Who made the food?
I think the other one.
Who?
Whoever didn't say it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's something going on between them.
No, I think he was just being cheeky, as they say.
Yeah, but it's still a dig.
It is a dig.
Because you gave compliment to the chef and he undercut the chef.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy.
They probably had a
They spat, probably got divorced.
Hey? Yeah. If you're both listening to this separately, get back together.
Parent trap.
That's what this whole episode was about.
I don't know how to summarize this because it was so, I don't know, we talked about million things.
Epic shit, brah.
But it's epic and it's not.
Yeah,
it's just like we all
Gobbly
like
gook.
It's like, here's the thing, I talked earlier about like worrying about being like educated enough to talk about this stuff, but because some of it is just like basic feelings and stuff that we know day to day. But the thing is like you need to express that. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
You need to express concern with like being manipulated by the media, you know, the way that the rich people dominate the poor people, the rich government dominates the poor people. I mean, it's obviously clear as day out there in front of us all the time, and it makes us upset. But you still need to like express it.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. But I think that's also the whole thing where it's like, as I think I mentioned it earlier, it's like just knowing what to do. Because it's like we're just told what's wrong, but
yeah,
we're never told how to fix it. Or yeah, if anyone's even working on fixing it.
And your idea like, to fix it is to just shit near a potato patch.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. No, but it's true.
Buddy. I like your idea of just like quitting everything and becoming a guy that teaches people how to make their houses self-sufficient.
Yeah. But it's happening in a way, right? Like,
yeah.
With all the like.
It's leaning that way.
Tesla stuff and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk?
My dad, before he passed away last year, he
moved
to Prince Edward Island to. His goal was to build a self-sufficient house.
Yeah.
And him and his partner at the time, she and him were like really good gardeners. And he was doing it. He just didn't physically make it. But,
right.
You know, he was an older generation and he was like really trying to make a change.
Yeah. No, I think there is that. But also that older generation had that. With the whole hippie movement, right? That
like, they was could still get tactile, right? They'd still use their hands and get dirty, right?
Yeah.
We don't really do that in the city as much.
No. But it depends where you are in the world, I guess. But, yeah.
Dirty city.
You got dirt under your fingernails, but it's not from gardening. It's from working for the man.
It's from tapping on the computer.
My keyboard is dirty.
That would be a good protest. Just going to a big office building and dumping buckets of dirt onto people's laptops.
But then putting nice flowers in them.
Yeah. And then going, see?
See?
All right. I feel like I'm running out of steam. Did we summarize it? No, we didn't.
Oh, I think my utopia would be just to know what I have to do. I feel rudderless.
You know, that's such a good point. I really like your point of the news frightening us all the time, but then also never giving us a positive suggestion or nudge toward what we can do.
Yeah.
You're totally right. I never thought of it that way.
I'm gonna have a joke I'm working on.
Do you?
It's kind of
good,
but I'm not gonna say it here.
So then that's what we'll promote. Next time you hear of Pat Bircher in your town doing stand up, go see him because a joke based on almost everything we talked about. We'll be ready.
A 30-second joke.
Yeah,
the perfect analogy.
Hey news, help us. So I'm banging this.
I'm banging this pile of dirt.
Yeah, and tomato grows, and then I looked at the stars.
I am a farmer.
You ever look at the stars, ladies and gentlemen?
Hello.
Good night, stars.
Good.
Do you practice your stand-up to stars?
Yeah,
that's nice.
And you know, when I see a shooting one, then I'm doing well.
Where's this guy going to the bathroom? Yeah. Anything else you want to promote?
Todd Graham is the best.
All right, everyone. That was Pat Bircher. Pat, thanks so much for allowing me to come over to your comedy party house. I don't know if you guys party a lot, but man, it was a fun time hanging out and talking about pondering, like, how do we fix the world and what is the world and why do we feel so emotional and why does it affect us and what else can we do and should we go to space? All kinds of beautiful ideas. And follow him at Pat Bircher on Twitter. I don't know if he tweets a lot, but he'll maybe update shows and stuff. You got to go see him. He's super funny. And yeah, that's that was a fun time. Follow us at Utopia to Me. Follow me at Chris Lock Fun. Listen, if you're in Toronto, this is coming out about a week and a half from now. I've got my own headlining show at the Drake Underground on Tuesday, November 28th. I also have a new website that you can go to, chrislockcomedy.com, which always has show updates, like big show updates, and videos and info and links and I don't know, stuff more. And so you can do that now, chrislockcomedy.com. But yeah, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, go to Instagram. I got an Instagram account. But yeah, that was Pat Bircher. Super fun time. Listen, I hope you guys are on your couch. I hope at this point in the podcast you've enjoyed the whole podcast, but at this point you enjoyed it, you're relaxed, and it's time for a snooze. So thanks so much for checking in again. Always have a good time, and always walk outside to breathe fresh air, and remember how beautiful the outside planet is. Breathe in that fresh air through the nose, out the mouth. Do that like for the rest of your life, and then go up to a tree and look at how tall it is and watch the branches touch the sky and then pat the bark and say, thank you. All right? And that's what I'm going to say to you guys now for tuning in. Thank you. All right. Goodbye. We'll be right back.